Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. They're getting into lambing season here in Wisconsin, and seemed like a really good time to talk again about sheep and sheep farming. I know there's a lot of lambing going on all across the state, and Ray Antonovich is part of that. He is the owner of AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin. They raise sheep, chickens, and rabbits, and have some open houses as well for people can come and see. See the sheep and see the lambs as they're, and I've actually watched them, my daughter and I have and wife have watched them as they were born at Ray's farm in past years. So Ray's with us to talk about sheep, as is Claire Michelayunas, excuse me. And Claire is an extension small ruminant specialist. She's a sheep expert. She especially works with sheep's milk cheese and Claire, I was trying to remember when you were last.
I was here in the fall when we were talking with Ray about the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival.
That's right. I knew you'd been with us, but I knew it'd been a little while, so it's great to have you back as well. Appreciate having you with us. You may have a question as you listen in here about sheep, wool. You might have a question about cheese. How important is it for you to know about how and where your food is produced? We can talk about that and how the term local might fit into your priorities for deciding what meat to buy or where to get wool. And certainly cheese is going to be on our minds as well. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. And Ray, we've talked many times on the show, but let's go back. How'd you first get into farming, and how'd you settle on sheep?
How did I get into farming? Well, sheep were not a part of my grandfather's operation up at Antigo, Wisconsin. We had moved to Milwaukee when I was five, but I would spend my summers until I was a teenager working on the farm up there. And so that's kind of the way the agricultural or the farming interest really got started. And I'll put a little bit more emphasis on horses for a while. Was active there. And really kind of saw some sheep that I liked and didn't really know too much about them and got deeper into it. And then we ended up with our own operation out here at Oregon. And we had horses and sheep. And the sheep was
the sheep kind of went out.
Yes, they did. And then we went into the ag tourism aspects, if we want to call that. And we've been in there ever since.
Yeah.
And
been a lot of fun.
Oh, yes, having a lot of fun. And today, being the extra day, kind of leap year and so forth, the sheep are kind of leaping, if we want to call it that. And so far today, as when I left home, and we've had three sets of triplets born.
Today?
And today, yes. From... there was a triplet set waiting for me at 5:30 this morning, and we just had two more sets after that. So
wow.
I don't know just what's going to be there home at home, because a lot of them look like they're in the same situation.
All right. Well, Claire Michelayunas, how'd you get interested in sheep and especially sheep's milk cheese?
Well, I can't claim to be from Wisconsin. I'm originally from the East Coast.
Yeah.
But luckily, after college, I spent a spring in Northern Ireland working on a sheep farm.
Oh.
And that really sealed the deal and made me want to work with small ruminants, especially during the lambing season. It's probably the height of excitement for sheep producers, mm-hmm. and also for anyone else who can have the opportunity to see lambs being born and bonding with their mothers. It's really quite an experience. So I came to Wisconsin about 8 years ago, and I've been working. I came here mostly to primarily to work with dairy sheep producers.
Yeah.
And after doing some graduate work at university here in Madison, I got this position here as the small ruminant specialist, extension specialist. So now I'm working with both dairy and meat and fiber producers for sheep and goats. Today we're mostly talking about sheep. So that was my experience, and I pledged when I spent that spring in Ireland that I would always experience a lambing season, and so far that's held true. So I'd really encourage all your listeners out there to take a trip to Ray's or a neighboring farm and get to experience the joy of lambing.
Oh, yeah. It really is a lot of fun. And you've got things going on. Actually, Ray, right now, isn't it, coming up? Actually,
well,
another couple weeks, anyway.
They are started. We're on the day. In fact, there were a couple that were early, which is a usual situation. Mm-hmm. But we are in it right now. And through the month of March is when we'll be having lambs.
And people can come out and see.
Right. Yes, we do have the lambing barn set up and planned for March. The last three Sundays of March, that's the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. And we have a great turnout of people to see, not only see the lambs, but see the other aspects as far as what we have involved in agriculture and some of the educational programs that we do offer as part of this. There's more information on it on our website. The website, if I can put that out.
Sure,
now,
go ahead.
Is, well, www.a-zfarm.com. And there's some pictures on there, directions, and a little bit more information.
Actually, we have that link to on our Facebook page, too. So if you go to the Larry Mueller Show, you can, Facebook page, you can link right to AZ Farms. Claire, for those who haven't tasted sheep's milk cheese, and I have, and I like it, how do you describe it? How does it compare to goat cheese, for example, or cow cheese is quite a bit different from cow cheese, I think.
Yeah, that's a challenging question to describe a flavor, but I would say it's unique. Just as those of you familiar with maybe sheep or cow or goat milk cheeses have you know, distinguish the difference between those. Sheep is unique on its own because sheep, cows, and goats all produce milk that have different amounts of fat and protein and actually different types of fat and protein. So the flavor profiles of their cheeses, they're all very distinct. And when I go to a group of consumers and ask them if they've tried specific types of sheep milk cheeses, people are often surprised that they have. For example, Roquefort cheese is sheep milk cheese from France, and Manchego is a Spanish-style cheese. So those are some of the imported cheeses from European countries that really have regulations about the types of cheeses that can get those names. In the U.S., we haven't created that distinction among cheeses that have specific names. But Wisconsin is the number one producer of sheep milk and sheep milk cheeses. And
very cool.
Yeah, so there's a lot out there.
And we have, actually, if I'm not mistaken, we've had some people who produce some really pretty darn good cheeses and have won competitions.
Yeah, I was just reviewing the American Cheese Society competition results from this past year, and we have about four processors in the state who've won top awards for their cheeses, like feta, or there's a soft sheep milk cheese out of Westby area, and she's created this fantastic cheese that comes in all types of flavors, a tomato and a honey lavender flavored cheese, which is really fantastic. In addition to some aged cheeses from Carr Valley and Hooks, in coordination with this dairy sheep producer, have created a blue cheese that's won top award. So there's really a range from soft to aged to natural rind cheeses, again, to blues. And they're all available from local producers and local processors and often in your local markets.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it seems to be more, is it more popular in Europe?
Yeah, milking sheep has a long tradition in European countries.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't have that long tradition here in the United States at the moment. There's been sheep milkers for about 20 years in the United States, so we have a long ways to catch up from the thousands of years that people have been herding and milking sheep in many European countries. So, but we were able to tap into their experience and their knowledge, and also importing many of their breeds of sheep for milk production.
And I'm just looking online. Judith is letting me know that, and I should look at this, UW Extension folks over there are listening in, and they shared a link on our Facebook page to their publication about raising dairy sheep, and very cute lamb picture as well as I take a look at that. And that's, and I'm sure you were very familiar with that publication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good cooperation with the Spooner Agricultural Research Station. So Wisconsin, in addition to milking and processing, has the only dairy sheep research in all of North America up at the Spooner Station. So,
and that's been going on a long time, because I can go back to my recalling my first ever trip out in the state as a broadcaster and a reporter. Was to travel to Spooner, Wisconsin for the Spooner Sheep Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed some folks for that, brought those interviews back, and played them right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Excellent.
I know the interviews. I don't know how good the interviews were, because I was just getting started. But it's a long time ago. I can tell you that for free. And it was a lot of fun. And there's a great, and that's been a great facility.
Yeah, it's they milk about 300 ewes, and they're doing some active research. And Spooner Sheep Day continues. I think it's one of the longest running field days in the College of Agriculture, over 50 years continuously. It's typically the last weekend of August, and we focused on dairy and also meat. Sheep production. So,
one of the highlights for me, I remember, was lunch.
There's always a lamb barbecue. So.
Oh my goodness! There was a lamb barbecue that was just out of this world.
Mm. Nothing like fresh lamb.
Oh man, we're talking about sheep farming here in Wisconsin. We've been zeroing in a bit on cheese, but we're talking about wool, and we're talking about lambing season with our two guests today. And I hope you'll join in. You can join in with your questions and comments as we move along here today at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or go to our Facebook page. I love the lamb picture. If you've got a picture that you want to post, a lamb picture, well, you can do that too at the Larry Mueller Show. We would love to have you do that. And they are going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. Here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So you stay with us and call in with your questions. Wisconsin has a rich farming tradition that continues today, but it can still be difficult to know where and from whom to buy our food and what the options are to buy meat that's raised locally and sustainably. It's also important that children grow up with respect for the people who produce the food that we eat. Larry Mueller here. So glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. My guests today until 12:30 know a lot about sheep. Ray Antonovich, Wisconsin farmer who raises sheep, chickens, and rabbits. And our other guest is Claire Michalayunas. And Claire is an expert on sheep as well and sheep's milk cheese. Great to have them with us, and they're happy to answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and if you like it while you're there, we'll send you regular updates on our shows. We'll be back right after the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, talking about sheep and sheep farming in Wisconsin and sheep's milk with two guests, Ray Antonovich, owner of AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin, where they raise primarily sheep, but they also have chickens and rabbits. Great to have him with us. They have some open houses coming up in the last three Sundays of March, open houses for everybody to come and see the sheep. We do it every year, and it's always a lot of fun. Watch the lambing taking place. He'll tell us a little bit more about that. Also with us, Claire Michalayunas, who is an extension, UW Extension small ruminant specialist. And she's done a lot with sheep and particularly with sheep's milk cheese. So great to have them both along. Dave in Madison has a question for you too. So I want to go right there. Dave, hi, thank you for calling. And what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Great show that you've got. I've had a question for the gentleman who owns the AZ Farms. I was wondering, I've always watched the YouTube videos of how trained some of those border collies can just cut a herd and get it to go this way and that. And I was wondering if he uses border collies with his farm. And the other question was, I also saw up in northern Wisconsin, with the reintroduction of the wolves up there, there's a sheep farmer up there who uses a special breed of dog called a Maremma, which I guess is a it's a Italian sheepdog. It looks like a really huge white golden retriever slash Great Pyrenees type dog, and I was wondering if he has any trouble with predators down in his Oregon area and if he uses any of those type of dogs.
Okay, as far as predators and the sheep, we've been out there for over 40 years, and we never had problems. Now, last summer, we did have coyote problems. We no coyotes have been around, but we lost a ewe and a lamb. Hmm. And then, well, I ended up bringing the sheep up closer to the buildings. We have several pastures. We rotate pastures and so forth. And we have not really had any problems since then. But they were planning on going and using the pastures a little distance away from the barn again. But one thing that helps us out, and that is the electric fences that we use. We use the electronet fencing, and they're temporary. We can move those a lot, and that has really helped us a lot as far as predator problems.
Hmm.
Dogs are great, and there are many different breeds of dogs, the small, the border collie, and so forth, and then we get to the larger dogs. But we have not really used dogs so
I can tell
so
you,
far.
Claire, you may want to add something.
Yeah, you made a good point that there are dogs that are used for herding, like the border collie and some other breeds, and then there are dogs that are used for guarding, and they're very distinct types of breeds. And the breed that you mentioned, the Maremma, is being used, and there are some breeders in Wisconsin. There's also the Great Pyrenees and the Akbash. There's a number of different breeds, and they all have a little bit different personalities and are used in a little bit different situations, whether you have open land, you know, a lot of property. Some of those dogs like to roam a little bit. So if you're thinking about getting a guard dog, I'd encourage you to talk to the breeder and really find out what the personality of the dog is. Just to make another comment, in addition to the coyotes and wolves that you mentioned, an unfortunate predator sometimes of sheep in our in Wisconsin is neighborhood dogs. And so I would just make producers aware of that just something to look out for. But certainly dogs are excellent guardians, and if you're thinking about a dog for herding, such as border collies or other breeds that herd, that there is an organization called the Wisconsin Working Stock Dog Association, and they put on trials throughout the state, so you can go watch dogs trialing with sheep, which is just amazing. As you've mentioned on YouTube, you can see those videos of expert herding dogs, mm-hmm. but to see it live is also wonderful. So Wisconsin Working Stock Dog Association, and they have a trial down at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wolf Festival down in Jefferson, but also in other parts of the state.
Yeah. Patricia McConnell, who she and I did a show together for a long, long time, and she comes by every once in a while to talk with me now. She has border collies, of course, and I've had a chance she's let me work her dogs. and of course, she's got to be standing right there because it's quite a great experience to work a dog, especially with somebody like her who really mm-hmm. knows her stuff and can,
right.
you know, sort of lead you along. And she also had a Great Pyrenees. And so, you know, one was for herding and one was for keeping the coyotes away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're absolutely a lot of fun and very interesting animals. Thanks, Dave, for calling. I appreciate it, by the way. We have Tony in Waukesha with a related question, so let's go there. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's interesting. It all of a sudden is a related question, or actually just a comment I wanted to make that might be helpful. I wanted to share something. I know a gentleman who raises sheep in the area, and he uses llama.
For protection.
And it works
right.
Apparently quite well. I go by there a lot, and it's kind of neat to see how it works. That llama just never leaves that crowd, and he's always with them, and apparently it works very well. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. And Go ahead, Claire.
That's a really good point. There's also guard donkeys that can be very effective.
Yes.
Some people don't think about donkeys as guardian animals, but actually we were just talking about the Spooner flock, and they've been guarded by a donkey for the last, I think, maybe 8 or 10 years, and she's been very effective.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Tony. And Sue in Argyle, hi.
Good morning. Well, this follows perfectly because my question is, we just acquired a very small farm here, and we have a donkey. And our donkey is the only animal out in the barn, and she's kind of lonely. I was thinking about getting goats or sheep for her for companions. And I think I'm leading more towards sheep because I think they're going to require a little bit less care initially. And I'm just wondering if that's a good idea, and what kind of sheep, what breed should I be looking at, and what kind of pasturing are they going to be needing?
I don't know if the sheep would be easier than the goats.
There are a lot of questions here and a lot of things to be addressed. How much pasture do you have? What do you want to do with these sheep other than strictly pets? Would you be interested in the wool production, the meat production?
We'll have about 6 acres of pasture. And no, not meat, but probably wool.
Mm-hmm. But then, if we want to go towards the wool route, then we're going to have to shear those sheep.
Yep.
Once a year. And so then you have to bring somebody else in to do that, mm-hmm. because most likely you would not be having the equipment or
the skills
to do that. Now, with the sheep, there are the hair sheep, which shed their hair versus wool, like something like dogs do, mm-hmm. and so forth. And so that is something that is relatively new as far as our sheep industry here in the U.S. And so that would be something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But then with the pastures, we are concerned as far as internal parasites. They can be a big problem, although they're very tiny themselves, as far as sheep are concerned. So we need to take a look at that. Sheep can be nice pets, but there's going to be a lot of things that we need to address also.
Yeah.
And I would say those are great points, Ray. We have over 50 breeds of sheep in the United States, so you have a lot of breeds to choose from. And just like Ray says, it gets back to what your goals are. If your goal is to have a beautiful, friendly sheep that you enjoy spending time with, then I would encourage you to find maybe some pictures of that breed and see if there's a producer with that breed in Wisconsin. I could direct you to the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Cooperative. They have a website that lists all their members and divides them up by breeds. So if you find a breed that you like, you might be able to find a producer in Wisconsin who has that breed. So you could choose a hair sheep, a wooled sheep, maybe one that's got colored fleeces. And as Ray mentioned, shearing is important for those ewes with wool. It is possible to learn how to shear. Arlington has a sheep shearing school at the beginning of December. You can learn the typical pattern of shearing, or you could learn how to shear standing up with the sheep standing up. I think it, and your question about how many sheep could you have on 6 acres is also a challenging question to answer, though it seems very simple. Pasture quality and pasture yield varies greatly between different types of soil and different types of forage and management systems. So probably the typical maximum would be 5 sheep per acre, but it could go down to 1 sheep per acre if the pastures are managed in a continuous grazing situation. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit challenging. What I would encourage you to do is maybe contact your local county ag agent and have them come out and see your pasture and talk to you a little bit about how you could set up that pasture. And we could also provide some educational resources for you about fencing pastures and maybe some different breed options.
For that. So your county UW Extension, county ag agent with UW Extension would be a big help, Sue, and oftentimes they'll come right out to your farm.
Oh, beautiful. That would be a great help for us.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Linda in Blanchardville. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for this show. I am a sheep farmer down here near Blanchardville, And I do have a specific question, but if I might comment on the previous discussion, I have a couple of things to say. Regarding predators, another way to approach that, what we have done, and we certainly hear the coyotes all around us, but we do sort of a multi-species. We have a few Scottish Highland cattle grazing with our sheep, and they, you know, have big horns and are pretty menacing looking, so they keep predators away. And we also have milking goats, a few of those, about 15 in with the sheep, and they have, we leave the horns on. We don't take the horns off, so they also provide protection. And then we raise four different heritage breeds of sheep, and one of them is the Jacob sheep, and they have horns. So with all those horns out there, the coyotes aren't coming near. And it also, the cattle provide beef, and the goats provide milk, and the sheep provide wool, and so it's sort of a whole system of things that we've developed. So that's something to consider. I was going to mention for the woman in Argyle, and she must be close to me, that she consider milking goats because she would have, they graze a lot of different kinds of brush. I don't know what her land is like, but they'll also produce milk for her. And they are much more of like a pet. If you have just a small amount, goats are like more like dogs. They follow you around, and they're more pet-like, and so she might enjoy that. Hmm. So I wanted to mention those things. And
well, all good points, Linda. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So now to my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're in the middle of lambing, and in the fall we separated our sheep into four. We have about a 45 flock of ewes, and we separated them into four paddocks with four different rams because we have these different heritage breeds that we're keeping. And now that we're lambing, we have 26 lambs so far, and of those, 19 are little rams, and only 7 are ewes. And I'm wondering, is there any science behind why there's so many more males than females? And it's not like we used just one ram. We had all these, and the predominance of male is across all four of those groups.
Well, that's bad just a chance, right? Chances with Mother Nature. There's no way that has been found to control that, if we want to say. I know we used to have a lot more ram lambs at times, and I've never kept track of it as far as books to see how we are averaging out over the years. But it is just something that has happened, and we've got to put up with it.
Unfortunately, there you go. The rams, you don't need so many of those.
No.
Jordan in Marengo, Wisconsin, it's your turn. Hi, Jordan.
Hey there. Well, that's perfect. That the acreage, 5 sheep per acre, that helped me out a lot. And this last thing about too many rams helps me out a lot, because I'm just kind of going by some stuff I've been told anecdotally. And my wife and I have 40 acres, just excellent pasture up here in Marengo. And I had been told that you can get young gelding lambs in the spring, because there are often too many. My goal, I guess, to get our feet wet in all of this would be to start with, say, 5 lambs or so, and just raise them in the spring, feed them my nice free grass, and slaughter them in the fall, because we have so many friends and relatives downstate that would just love good, high-quality lamb, you know? So the marketing, I would think, would be, you know, easy to accomplish. My concern, where I guess I always balk, is the cost of the fencing, you know, because on such a small-scale startup, an acre, well, that's, if I'm figuring right, that's 840 feet of fence, which would be not too cheap, really. And so my two questions that have not yet been answered by listening to the show so far is, instead of fencing off a whole acre, could I, say, invent some kind of thing like an overgrown chicken grazer that I can back my Subaru up to and drag another 50 feet to fresh grass every so often? And for this thing of raising them in the fall, you know, raising them in the spring and you know, butchering them in the fall, am I going to get enough yield off of these things to offset the cost of the butchering? And my final question is, do I need some kind of little shelter or barn kind of thing if they're not going to be overwintered? And that should do it. Thanks for the show.
All right.
Okay. Well, one thing I would say about utilizing your pasture, there is a great opportunity to put up some temporary fencing instead of a permanent fence. There's this great electric fencing. It's often called ElectroNet, and there's a number of companies that sell it. It comes in, I think, 160-foot strands, and maybe if you bought two of those strands, you can arrange them in any sort of shape that you want. It's these fiberglass posts with a type of netting in between that has electric, it has a piece of metal running through the netting, and then you would put an electric charger on it, and it sends an electric pulse through there. So you can actually set up a circle or any small square and be able to move those lambs on a daily or maybe 2 or 3 day basis. And then the charger, you can buy a charger that runs off a marine battery or one that runs off the solar power. So I think for that type of fencing setup, you might pay $400 to $500, but that's something you could use again and again.
Years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Five years, probably, that netting and the charger might last even longer. And growing lambs over that time frame would be excellent. If you can get some lambs as the grass is greening up and finish them in the fall, it's going to be a very low-cost way to grow those lambs. To give you an idea of maybe what processing would cost in your area, might be about $75 per lamb. So that's something you can put into your calculations. And I think you're going to get you're going to be able to finish those lambs well over that period of time before the winter, and in that case, you would not need any shelter for them. They're going to have their own shelter on their backs. You'd have to provide mineral in the pasture and certainly water, but you wouldn't need any extra shelter. So I'm not sure if we got all of your questions answered.
I think we got them all. That was very, very good. Good questions and good answers, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. And Jean in Ashland, give you a chance next. Hi.
Hi. Within the last few years, some research scientists listened to gave a warning about to cheesemakers that not to put a whole lot of interest in making blue cheese because they, after all their research, they could not assure, absolutely be positive that blue cheese, the mold, the blue mold that the cheesemakers add to the cheese, is absolutely safe.
No. What do you, Claire? Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that. That may be true. I'm not aware of that that information. So
that's one I'll have to, Jeannie Carpenter, I'll have to check in with her and see what she's got to say about that. I'm sure, I'm reasonably sure that she would have looked at that. Well, stay listening on that, Gene. We'll be dealing with that at some point. Taylor in Rushford, Minnesota. Quick comment from you. Hi, Taylor.
Hi. Thanks for the show. This is an excellent show. I always like listening to this one every year. My grandfather, my dad, and now myself have raised sheep for many years. My grandpa started back in the late 30s as an FFA project, and last year we have Border Leicester and Suffolk Cross, and last year we had a ewe that gave birth to 5 lambs, and all lived. She wasn't able to take care of all of them by herself, of course. There was 2 that were bottle fed, and then 1 we put in with 1 that had just a single. But what's the probability of that having all 5 live?
Wow,
that's great odds. You're doing something right. You're using nutrition and feeding and keeping those lambs healthy. That's excellent.
Right. We have only had 1 situation like that with 5, and she did raise them all. We assisted somewhat. I don't recall just how much, but I'm sure there was some milk replacer utilized and so forth. But between the ewe and us, we raised all 5 of them. There were 3 ewe lambs there, and they had a long life with us. And then that was it. But we will get quads maybe once a year, one set a year.
Yeah.
And triplets, Well, we've been saving a lot of triplet ewe lambs for replacements. And so triplets are fairly common with us. And in fact, today, leap year, and so we have an extra day. And, we've had, as of when I got up at 5:30 and then left for the studio here a little later, I penned up three sets of triplets born today, and we're just getting started.
And you've got coming up the always a lot of fun, the farm visits, the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th of March, where people can come. I know Renee and I and Emily will be there to see the lambs being born, or you may or may not see them born, but it's a kind of a crapshoot, you might say. But it's always a lot of fun, and a chance to purchase some things there. And we have a link. It's a-zfarm.com, I believe. And you can go to that website and get the address. It's Oregon, Wisconsin, located just outside of Oregon. And if you're not in this area, I know there are some other people around the state who are doing that very same thing. But for AZ Farms, you just go to my website at the Larry Mueller Show or my Facebook page, and you'll get a link right to it. And thank you both so much for being with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much. We enjoyed being here.
Yes, went very fast.
Stay with us.